There'll be no junior worship this morning, and you're the part of that. Just keep your seat this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Ephesians. We are looking at the armor of God. And this morning we want to talk about the gospel shoes. A lonely fellow decided that his life would be a whole lot better if he could just have a pet. So he thought about the kind of pet he would like to have. And so he went to the pet store and he talked with the owner, and then he told the pet, the owner there, that he wanted to have a very unusual type of pet. And so after some discussion was made, he decided a centipede would be his pet. And so he bought a centipede and bought it home. And the centipede came along with a white box that was shaped in the form of a house. And so he put that in a place that was appropriate for the centipede to use for his home. And so the centipede went into his home, and they got everything set up for them. Well, the owner decided, well, you know, I would like to get things started off real good with my pet, so I think I'll take him out to dinner tonight. And so he went over and he said to his pet, "Would you like to go out to Wendy's for dinner tonight?" And there was no answer. But he waited for a few moments thinking, maybe he was just thinking about it. And then he went back and he said, "Would you like to go to Wendy's for dinner tonight?" And still there was no answer, and this kind of, you know, upset him, frustrated him just a little bit, and he still waited for just a moment. And then the more he thought about it, the more he got upset about it. And he went over to that little house, and he stuck his head right down there to that house, and he said, "Would you like to go out to dinner with me tonight?" And he heard this little tiny voice come back to him and said, "I heard you the first time. I'm just putting on my shoes." You know, shoes are very important, aren't they? You know, they protect our feet from the harsh terrain that most of us walk over. And, you know, even as the terrain is hard for us to walk over, sometimes life gets pretty stiff and hard to walk through, doesn't it? And we have to walk through a lot of difficult situations in life. And we need to have on something that can help us go through life. And nothing in this world that we can come up with can help us any better than the gospel that has already been given to us. And I would say that it is time for each and every one of us to put on the full armor of God. Paul wrote the Ephesian letter while in Rome and while he was under house arrest. And he was waiting for trial and possibly execution. And if you've been with us on our Wednesday evening Bible studies, we've been studying through the book of Acts. And as we finished up the book of Acts, Paul was in a rented house there in Rome. And he was under arrest with a Roman soldier there with him constantly. And every move that he made, that soldier was right there with him. And it would seem as he wrote this letter to the Ephesians and he wrote about the armor of God, that maybe he was looking at that big old burly Roman soldier that stood there chained to him day in and day out. And perhaps God used that soldier as the Holy Spirit directed Paul what to write about and to put down the things that we need to understand as he wrote about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And we've already looked at those two things. So the next thing Paul looked at was the unique sandal that the guard would wear during his lifetime. Verse 13 of our text there says, "Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day." Now, this is the reason for the armor of God, to withstand this evil day. And that word, the word "the" in the phrase there, the evil day, is a definite article. And Paul used it in a very specific way about a very specific particular day. Paul was writing about the evil day, the day the devil pours out his very worst attack upon you. And Paul was writing about being prepared in advance for that attack, that time that the devil would pour out his worst upon us. And in the moment when you're least expecting it, the devil will just come at you with the most fierce attack. And you're to be ready for that attack at all times. And if you're not ready, he's going to consume you. He will take you out in just a moment's notice. You will be destroyed. But you know what? You can fight against the devil. You can do something that will help you with things. Because, you know, the devil looks at you every day of your life. And he looks and says, Bill, I want you to make a bad decision today. He says, CW, I want you to make a bad decision today. He looks at every one of us and he says, make a bad decision today that's going to change your life forever. And in one fell swoop, in one brief moment, our life is changed. And that one brief moment, David's life was changed for the rest of his days. He wasn't prepared to fight against that day of evil. Because he had not prepared, he made this terrible decision that he never, never was able to get over. And even though he was forgiven, even on his deathbed, that terrible decision was playing upon his mind. Moses was called by God to lead his children out of Egypt into the promised land. And in one brief moment, it happened that the evil day was upon him, and he beat the rock twice, water poured out, but he failed to give God the glory for it, and he lost it. He could not go into the promised land for which he had been looking for. In that one brief moment, Peter denied Jesus Christ. Only in a brief moment can our life be destroyed and we will never be the same again. The armor of God is the only thing that can withstand the onslaught of the devil. You know, America has a missile defense system. Christians need and can have the fiery dart defense system in the armor of God. Christians are in a constant spiritual war, and it can get really tough, and it can get really difficult, and it comes upon us in a moment's notice, and we need to be able to stand when God tells us to stand. Thus, the armor of God is needed. We've come to the shoes of the gospel. It says there in verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, the Roman soldier wore thick sandals that were attached to their legs with these thick leather straps. And on the bottom of those shoes were hobnails, which were kind of like cleats. One of the top priorities of today's soldiers in the wartime or any time is to have good, dry shoes because they are the very foundation for their whole body. That word preparation used there in 15 means foundation. And four times in this passage, Paul tells us to stand. A soldier who could not stand, could not fight, and he would lose. And a soldier cannot fight well if he does not have a good foundation. The Christian's foundation is the gospel. What is the gospel? We read over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 3 and 4, where it says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was raised, and that He rose again the third day, or He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel news is about Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Satan tries every way he can to pollute and destroy and dilute the gospel every day of our life. And Paul warns us over in Galatians, the first chapter in verses 6 through 9, about the devil when he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you, who pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as I have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. If you have the wrong gospel, your whole life is going to be wrong in everything. The gospel is our foundation, our sure footing. So what do these gospel shoes provide for the Christian? First of all, the gospel shoes provide stability for us. These hobnails in the bottom of the Roman soldier's sandal help them to keep their footing. And they also help them from getting, you know, knocked over and being just knocked plumb out of battle. You know, some churchgoers will believe anything they hear if the preacher says it. If the preacher says something they like, well, what do? Immediately they go out there and they get online and they share it with everybody in their book. And they live by it if it tickles their fancy. And regardless of whether it's scripture or not, they take it all in. Many churchgoers are not like those of the Bereans who search the scripture daily to see if what was said was so. Many churchgoers are like those who are found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, where it says, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. You know, you can get a little child to believe just about anything you want them to believe, can't you? Many of you, probably every one of you sitting here today, have seen those big smokestacks of the electric system, you know, out on a river, one over in Ohio and one in Indiana. And you go out on a very crisp morning and a nice bright day, and you look up at those smokestacks, and what are they doing? They're just up there just belching out these big, beautiful white clouds of steam. And they go up, and they just look like clouds, don't they? And you point those out to a child and say, hey, look, the cloud factory is at work over there today. And a little child says, oh yeah, that's where clouds come from. You see, you can get a little child to believe just about anything you want them to. But you know what? Adults are just about as gullible at times. Many believe that whatever they hear in the news media is real, that whatever the Christian radio says is real and okay. And desperate people are having health problems and financial problems are caught up and sucked in by this radio or TV preacher, and they send them their livelihood hoping for something in exchange. I've heard people say to their children, you know, live a good Christian life so you can go to heaven. You know, they'll say something like, God will let good people into heaven. I've heard people say, one religion is just as good as another, as long as you're sincere. Those people need to have their feet shod in the preparation of the gospel. The Bible is true, including what it says about how we must be saved, and it's about what it says about Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven. You know, some of these people, you know, someone needs to just put on their good old gospel boots and walk up to them and give them a swift kick and say, either you get on Christ's road or you're not going to make it to heaven. There's only one way. God provides us with that stability, that absolutes. And James tells us that a double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways. Hebrews 13:9 tells us that to not be carried away by various and strange doctrines. Don't tell me about a book that somebody wrote about a near-death experience that they went to heaven and they toured it and they came back, and we should accept it like a gospel story, like it is the Bible. Listen, there could have been bad mushrooms on their pizza when they had that. Luke tells us about a man who went to hell and he toured hell, but he did not come back. Well, you know about him because Jesus told us about him as a warning. And at the end of that account in Luke 16, we are told that people have the prophets. In other words, people have the Bible. If you want to know about God, if you want to know about heaven and hell, go to the Bible. You can hold in your hands the final eternal revelation of God. Right here. If you want to know about Him, go read what He's told you. And God doesn't need our help in any way in changing it or adding to it and putting our two cents in there. He has revealed all we need right there. Let God be true and every man a liar, Paul said. Well, a second thing about these gospel shoes is that they are for mobility. Roman soldiers needed to be able to move quickly, and they needed proper footing to do that. You know, the soldiers' shoes were designed with the fur of an animal inside to keep their feet from getting sore and tired, you know. Can you imagine that, man? You know, fuzzy bunny slippers inside of a good sports shoe, a good army boot. Well, that's what they had. And no matter how skilled an army is, if it's standing still, it's going to be defeated. Stability is necessary, but also is mobility. And stability is our message, the word that we carry. And mobility is the method by which we get that message out. The message, the word, is non-negotiable. The devil is constantly changing his methods, his tactics, his approaches, and even proclaiming his own truth at times. Some of us senior saints are seeing things today that 25 years ago we would not even have dreamed of. And so some of our methods need to be negotiable, without compromising the message. But you know, people don't like change, do they? People don't like change, though, and it's hard to get many people to change. Someone came up and put together five hindrances about change. And number one, he says, is pride. You know, I don't need to change. We've never done it that way before. Number two, another hindrance to change is fear. You know, I'm scared to change. It's too much to risk. You know, the trapeze artist is out there swinging around all over the place, and you know, he has to take a risk, doesn't he? Somebody is supposed to catch him on the other side, but for a few seconds there, he's flying through the air all by himself. There are times when we just have to take a risk. Another hindrance to change is rebellion. I don't want to change. You know, I don't want to submit to anyone. You know, it, it, it's It's a hindrance, and we say, well, it's inconvenient for me to change. A heavily booked airliner had canceled its flight, and there was just a single booking agent trying to reschedule all those passengers who were on that flight, and they were all in their line there waiting, and suddenly one passenger became very angry with things, and he pushed his way to the front, and he just slapped his ticket down on the counter there, and he demanded, I have to be on this flight, and it has to be first class. And the attendant just said, well, I'm sorry, sir, I'll get to you just as soon as I can, but all these others are ahead of you, they're first. And then he became very angry with him. Do you have any idea who I am? And without hesitating, the attendant smiled and she picked up her microphone over in the counter and keyed up, and it went all over the airport. Says, may I have your attention, please? We have a man here at the counter who doesn't know who he is. If anybody can help us with his identity, would you come over here and help us? You know, there's a lot of inconveniences in life, isn't there? And most of us don't like inconveniences. Another hindrance to change is just pure old laziness. Well, you know, that's too much work to do that. Why can't we just sit back we four no more? Because that's not our calling. Jesus didn't call us to just sit down and do nothing. Another hindrance to change is ignorance. I don't know how to change. Some need and want change. But until someone goes with them with the Scriptures and shows them how to change, they will never be able to change. That's mobility. You see, we need to be mobile, ready to move at any given moment with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number three, this morning, the gospel shoes are for opportunity. For opportunity. A little boy liked to go with his mother to the old general store. And he liked to sneak away from his mother and when no one was looking, he would dip his finger into the old molasses barrel and, you know, lap it up. Well, you know, the storekeeper caught him. And he decided he was going to teach his kid a lesson. So he grabbed him by his britches and he lifted him up and he dunked his head right down in that molasses barrel and just covered him up. And then he sent him out on the front porch for everybody to see. But you see, the lad, he wasn't crying or anything like that. He was praying, and all the time he was saying, Lord, give me a tongue to help me with this opportunity. Opportunities abound for us. Everywhere we look, there is an opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the Roman soldier was always ready for an opportunity. He was constantly in this state, this mindset of battle, of war. And so the Roman soldier kept his shoes on at all time when they were in the midst of battle. He even slept with his shoes on so he'd be able to go at once. He was ready for it. He was ready to fight. The Christian should always be ready and looking for every opportunity that comes for us. We must be ready to present the message, to share Jesus Christ with whomever we can. Romans 10:15 just says to us, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Are you ready to share Jesus Christ? Are you ready to give Him to somebody who doesn't know Him? Are you looking for an opportunity to help somebody change who wants to change, to make something different of their life? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are you stable? Are you mobile? Are you ready to take on every opportunity that comes your direction? The first question, though, we got to answer this morning is, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Do you belong to Jesus Christ this morning? Have you made Him your Lord and Savior? Have you given your all to Him in everything that you do and say? Have you confessed that you are a sinner and you are in need of His cleansing? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and raised up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life? Do you belong to Jesus Christ this morning? If not, that's why we've come to this time of decision, that you might examine your life and that you might take the opportunity that is set before you to make that decision for Christ, that you might be able to share the message, that you might shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you have a decision, won't you come as we stand and as we sing? Just as I